Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that communion was awesome. And you're gonna be surprised when I share the message about how the communion went along with the message. Very much so, in several points. Amen. Amen. We're so glad to be here this morning. We're so glad to have all of you. Glad to have you on Zoom. We have nobody working the controls over there, so if you need let us know something, Zoom people, please just text it to me. That'll be fine. That would be fine. One of these days, Donnie, he's gonna learn how to do both of them. Which is very easy to do both of them because once he gets, I mean, you sit in the middle and work both sides with no problem. But he said he's gonna let me teach him how to do both sides. So thank you, Jesus. But I've been working on a series called, we started out talking about the hardness of heart and how the children of Israel could not enter the promised land, which was a place of rest for them, because of the hardness of their heart. They were disobedient to the word of the Lord. And it didn't mix what they heard, the word they heard, it didn't mix it with faith. And so we're still talking about the way we can get to the place where we enter the rest of the Lord. And the Bible said to labor. And it just told us about, the things of God take effort. And so the word said we are to labor to enter into the rest of God. And the way we labor is by faith. It's by faith. That's how we labor. And so this morning, I want to go a little bit further on resting by faith and talk about obedience. Obedience. And I heard someone say something and it really caught my attention. And they said that obedience is the way to seeing and hearing the Father. If you want to see what God is doing and hear what He's doing, then we have to be obedient. We have to be obedient. God, if we don't do the first thing God told us to do, if we're not being obedient, God is not going to continue to talk to us and give us stuff because we're not obedient. And I heard a friend of mine say, and he does that because the more we disobey God, the more condemnation we get. And God don't want us to be condemning ourselves. He don't want us to get in condemnation. So if he knows you're not going to do it, then he's not going to constantly tell you to do it, because you haven't decided to be obedient, because he don't want you to get into us to get in condemnation. So obedience is a way to seeing and hearing the Father more. If you want to hear it and see God, what he's doing clearly, hear what he's saying clearly, then you're going to have to live a life of obedience. We're going to be teaching on obedience today. Have you ever found, and I know all of us have, every Christian have had this. Have you ever found God inviting you to do something silly or you thought was silly? Or maybe something that does not make sense to you? God often asks us to act in a manner that feels ridiculous or inconvenient in the moment. Responding to these invitations from the Lord are known as acts of obedience. Acts of obedience. Sometimes God will tell us to do something just to see if we're going to obey. It's an obedient test. It's an obedient test. I heard one lady say she was trying to hear, I think it was Carly Tardis. She was trying to hear God better. And she had decided she's going to obey God no matter what God say. And so one day she was just going about her daily activity, and she had baked some pies and put them out on the to cool. And she heard the Holy Spirit say, "The cat's eating your pie." And she said, "The cat's eating my pie." She didn't pay no attention to it because she knew that it was the Lord. She knew it was the Lord. And it seemed like there was another cat. She had the window up. She knew where her cat was, but another cat had came in eating the pie. And so she heard it again. "The cat's eating your pie." And she said, "That's silly. Why would I hear something like the cat's eating my pie? That don't make no sense." But finally, she decided to go and check, and the cat was eating her pie. Sometimes God asks us to do things that they're acts of obedience. We're learning. He knows we have to learn to obey Him, and so we have these things He asks us to do that we think are totally silly. We don't understand them, but if we just obey, then we will understand. A lot of times after we obey, obedience requires a surrendering of our will to the will of the Father. We got to surrender our will to the Father's will in order to be obedient. We must allow Holy Spirit to bend our will towards God's will. We got to, God don't, He wants our will to what? God don't want to break our will. I got that further down, but I'm going to say it right now. God don't want to break our will. He wants to bend our will toward His will. So if our will is here and that's not God's will for us, then God wants what? He wants to bend our will this way toward His will. So we must allow Holy Spirit to do that. Obedience requires us to be clothed in humility. I learned that. Obedience requires humility. It requires humility. And I'm gonna talk about it a little bit more along after a while, but obedience requires humility. Obedience also requires us to prepare our hearts by humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You got to prepare your heart to be obedient. You got to prepare your heart. A lot of times we want our children to be obedient. We grow them up to be obedient unto us, their parents. And at the same time, like Ed said a little while ago, we want them to obey, but we're not obeying. We're not being obedient. They should be learning obedience by looking at us. Are we being obedient? Are we obeying the things of God? Are we obeying the laws of the land? Are we obeying and honoring our parents? That don't mean when you get grown, you got to do everything they tell you to do, but there's still a certain element of obedience and honor there that never goes away, no matter how old we are or how old our parents get. So are we modeling the life of obedience? And we want our children to obey us. What models are they seeing? Are they seeing the husband and wife submissive to one another? Because submission has to do with obedience. So we have to model that for them. Let's go to 1 Peter 5, 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. We're going to talk about how obedience requires us to be clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5, 5, and I'm going to read all of this. I'm going to read the last portion of 1 Peter 5, 5. I'm going to read that last portion of it. It says, "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble." Be clothed in humility. And I'm going to talk about what humility really means in a little bit. Be clothed with humility, for God's what? He resists the proud. A proud person is not going to be obedient because a proud person wants to have their own way. They want to feed that pride. Pride wants got to be fed. All sin has to be fed because if you don't feed it, it dies. So God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's look at that next verse. Therefore, since God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, Peter says in the next verse, therefore, because I just said what I said, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humility is a form of submission. In order to walk in humility, you must learn to submit to God and others. And all this has to do with obedience. We got to learn to submit. We got to learn to submit to God and to others. Even husband and wives have to learn how to submit to each other. You have to learn to submit to your manager or supervisor on the job. What does submit mean? Submit means you are allowing yourself to be obedient. You're allowing yourself to obey. You're allowing yourself to obey. It's not just the wife that's supposed to submit to the husband, but the Bible said we ought to submit to one another. It's just that we just heard once, sometimes you just hear one side of scripture. You don't hear the whole story. But it's in there. It's in there. It's like when you cook a cake, like an Ed cook cakes, and you might cook, eat that cake, and all you taste is one thing in that cake. But it don't mean ain't nothing else in that cake, a whole lot of stuff in that cake, besides that one thing. So there's a whole lot of other stuff in the Bible. So we ought to submit to one another. Because submission is a form of being obedience. Submit to one another, leadership, the laws of the land, and to one another. We must allow Holy Spirit to bend our will toward the will of God. What we're called to submit to sometimes is not what we want to do. It's not always what you want to do. But we must allow what the Holy Spirit to bend our will toward the will of God, because God the one that said submit. God the one that calls us to be obedient. If we're not obedient to one to our parents or laws or submitted to that, how are we going to submit to God? You really can't submit to God if you're rebellious in other areas. Because the plain truth is you're going to be rebellious to God somewhat in some way too. God doesn't want to break our will, like I said, but he just want to bend it in the right direction. Let's look at Jesus as our example of obedience. And I'm going to be, if you go back on your leisure time and read John 13, 16, you will see something there. If you're looking for it, you will see how Jesus taught the disciples about obedience by teaching them how he was obedient to the Father. Jesus gave his disciples the secret of his power and the secret of his relationship with the Father. That's in John 13 through 16, those chapters. And both his secret of his power and his secret of his relationship with the Father grew out of his obedience to the Father. He was, and I don't know how, when I talk about me, I miss that. I miss seeing that the obedience that Jesus had to the Father, that's what his this was the secret of his power. That was the secret of his relationship. I probably thought and saw that it was a secret of his relationship with the Father, but I didn't really realize that there was power in being obedient. There's actually power in obeying God. And a lot of time we complain or look at our lack of power or lack of walking in the things of God, but how obedient are you? You know, how obedient are you? Because Jesus was perfectly obedient to the Father, nothing hindered his ability to see and hear what the Father was doing. He was perfectly obedient to the Father, so there was nothing to hinder his ability to see and hear what the Father was doing, and that was the source of his power too. Seeing and hearing, he said it many times in scripture. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. His seeing and hearing the Father and what the Father was doing made there be nothing in him to hinder his ability to walk out what the Father had called him to do. He said in John 8, 24 and 29, that he always do what he see his Father doing. That's what he told the disciples. So what was he doing? He was teaching his disciples obedience. And when we look at the Acts and the book of Acts and see the first church and the apostles, they were walking in obedience. The power of God was being displayed in their lives because what? They were walking in obedience. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and tarry and stay there until you receive power from on high till the Holy Spirit come. They obeyed. They went to the upper room and they stayed there till the Holy Ghost came. They started walking in obedience. They started walking in obedience. And he also said, I always do what I see my Father doing. Jesus also pleased his Father by being obedient. He obeyed the Father. He was obedient. He lived in a fleshly body just like we do when he was here on earth. And I'm quite sure there were temptations walking in the flesh because the Bible said they were. But he obeyed the Father. He was obedient. He was obedient. He always pleased his Father by being obedient. Let's look at Hebrews 5 and 7. So we're talking about obedience. Walking and living a life of obedience to the Father. And there's power in obedience. Hebrews 5, 7 says this, who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, it's talking about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, this is talking about Jesus in his life before the crucifixion. That's what that phrase is talking about. When he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was talking to the Father. It was not easy for his flesh to submit to the cross. It was easy for his spirit to submit, but it was not easy for Jesus' flesh to submit to the cross. And so he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed three times about the cup passing from him. But that third time, he said, God, not my will, but your will be done. Obedience. Obedience to the Father. Obedience to the Father. Obedience is not easy all the time. It's easy to obey if it's something you want to do anyway. But what about if it's something your flesh does not want to do? What did Jesus say? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you might be willing to do something in your spirit that your flesh does not want to do. But guess what? That flesh got to do whatever you decide to do. It's got to go along with it. It's got to go along with it. Your flesh cannot do stuff on its own without you cooperating with your flesh. Let's look at the eighth verse, Hebrews 5:8. Though he was a son, talking about Jesus, though Jesus was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Though he was a son, though Jesus was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. According to this scripture, Jesus learned to be obedient through the things he suffered. Obedience is something we must learn. We too must learn to obey our Father. And in doing so, our flesh will suffer. Jesus' flesh suffered. He allowed his flesh to suffer so that he could learn to be obedient to the Father. Let's look at verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. What was he perfected in? He wasn't perfected in suffering. He was perfected in being obedient. The suffering helped him to be perfected in being obedient. So it's suffering sometimes, not suffering stuff that Jesus has already, done for us. Healing is not from God. Healing has already been taken care of by Jesus. But they are still suffering in the flesh. We suffer persecution. We suffer saying no to our flesh. And that's how we learn obedience. Jesus was perfected not in suffering, but in obedience. He was perfected in obedience. Remember that scripture's talking about. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected in what? In obedience. Once he was perfected in obedience, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. It started with Jesus obeying, and then now we got to obey. We got to obey. We got to obey. And after being proven perfect in this way of obedience, he has now become the source of eternal salvation to all those who listen to him and obey him. The meaning of source is where something originated, where it came from. Eternal salvation comes from Jesus being obedient to the Father. Eternal salvation came what? Through Jesus' obedience to the Father. That's how it came. How often somebody's deliverance might come from us being what? Obedient to the Father. Somebody else's salvation might come through us being obedient to doing what God tells us to do. Going, giving somebody a word. Saying what God told you to say. Giving a kindness, giving kindness, showing love, helping somebody, showing the love of God, because people are going to see God what? Through us. So someone's deliverance or help can come from us. Just like our eternal salvation came from Jesus being obedient. God wants to do stuff through us by us being obedient. Obedience is so important. And there's power in being obedient to God. Sometimes our own deliverance comes through what? Being obedient. Our own healing comes through being obedient. Humbling ourselves, walking in humility, taking advice from somebody you might not want to take advice for, like Ed said. Listen to somebody you might not want to listen to. Humbling yourselves and being obedient to what you hear God saying and not hardening your heart. Jesus' suffering came from being obedient to his Father. Sin came from Adam's disobedience. Romans 5:19 says this. Sin lets us know this. Sin came from Adam's disobedience. That's how sin came, from Adam disobeying God. But salvation came from Jesus' obedience. One man's disobedience brought sin. Jesus' obedience brought salvation. Now think about how many things have we missed because we disobeyed God? How many things that we held back from somebody else getting because what? We disobeyed God. God said, go tell them this. And our flesh said, I don't want to go tell them that. They ain't going to listen to me. They're not going to hear me. They count me as nothing. But God said, go do it. Go warn them. Go give them this word for me. And we're not wanting to do it. And so sometimes there might be we didn't do it. Our disobedience hinders somebody from receiving what God wants them to have. Let's look at Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? Obeying sin leads to spiritual death. Romans 6:16 just said that. Obedience to Christ leads to righteousness. That's what the verse just said. Righteousness is being in a state of acceptance. Let me say that again. Righteousness is being in a state that's acceptable to God. We have been made righteous because Christ was made sin for us. So we have been made acceptable to God through Christ, through him receiving all our sins, and we receiving his righteousness. So we've been made righteous. We've been made righteous. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. We've been made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You need to read it. Like Ed say, meditate on it. Get to know that verse and get to know that verse is talking about you. You have been made righteous. Jesus was made sin, your sin, my sin, but we were given his righteousness. But righteousness is twofold. Okay, righteousness is twofold. When I looked up righteousness, righteousness is integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness. All of that is already in our spirit. We have virtue, we have purity in us, we have rightness in us, we have integrity. All that's in our spirit and a lot more, the fruit of the spirit, all that's in our spirit. But righteousness also means correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. This has to be lived out in our souls and body. So righteousness is not just an inside thing. That righteousness has to what? Be lived out in what we say, what we do, what we think, how we feel. So when we obey and we are obedience, that leads to what? Our righteousness being seen and heard. We start having righteous thoughts, righteous feelings, righteous actions. It's not just something in your spirit. It's something now that can be seen. But how do we deal with our flesh? Since flesh is a problem, flesh can always be a problem until we leave this flesh here on earth and our spirit and soul go to be with Jesus. And then when we come back, we're going to get a glorified body. And that glorified body won't have a problem. It'll be like Jesus' glorified body he has now. So how do we deal with our flesh? Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24, that we deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. Deny ourselves. That means we deny our own wills, our own fleshly desires, our own fleshly wills. Deny yourself. Deny what you want. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Jesus denied his flesh and he went to the cross. Remember, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane for the Father to take that cup from him. But he came to the conclusion and said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. So he denied his flesh and went to the cross. Acts of obedience don't always make sense in the natural. Who would ever thought that death would bring forth life? But it did. Who would ever thought that Jesus dying on the cross would bring forth life for all of us and for the whole world? But death brought forth life. The enemy thought when he crucified Christ on the cross, crucified Jesus on the cross, that was the end. Oh, I got him now. He's gone. He didn't know that Jesus' death was going to what? Bring forth life. That one act of obedience brought many to salvation. Many to salvation. Who would have thought that? Matthew 16, 25 says this. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Obedience. If you obey and lose your life for the sake of Jesus, then you'll find it. But if you disobey and try to save your life, you will lose it. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says this. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Our warfare and how we fight doesn't always make sense in the natural, but it works. It works. It works. It works. Somebody tell you off, you want to tell them off. In the natural, it doesn't make no sense for you to hold your peace. The world would think you would say you're crazy. They'll probably say you're a wimp, you're weak. So it don't make no sense in the natural. But it makes great sense in the spiritual. Because what we're allowing God to fight our battle. And we hold our peace, he'll fight the battle for us. He will do that for us. So our way of making warfare don't always, and our way of fighting don't always make sense. Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We do not use the human weapons of the flesh, nor the world. We do not use manipulation to achieve our goal. Trying to manipulate people, manipulate things to have your way, that's the way of the world. And boy, is that the way of the world now. That is so much the way of the world now. But that is not our weapons. The Bible says that we live in the world, but are not what? Of the world. We are of Christ. But our weapons what? They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Our weapons are mighty. They might not look like they're mighty. It might not look like to the world they're working, but our weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. Ooh, they're mighty. Our weapons are mighty. When we use the word of God, just like Jesus did when he was in combat with the devil, he didn't fight with his fists. But every time the enemy came against Jesus, he fought with the word of God. He fought with the word of God. When people come against us, our fight that weapon we use the word of God. We use the word of God. Because our weapons what? They are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Not only strongholds in our own life, but in the strongholds in the life of others. People really cannot withstand the word of God that comes to them from an anointed vessel and under the power of the Holy Spirit. It might not look like nothing going on to you, but something's going on the inside of that person. Not just strongholds in our own life, but also in the thoughts of others. Let's look at that verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what our weapons are doing. Our weapons cast down arguments. Our weapons cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. We use our sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's our weapon. It's not a carnal weapon. It's not a worldly weapon. We use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, not only to break up strongholds in the lives of others, but also strongholds in our own lives. We use that same Word of God to cast down arguments that people have and every high thing that they might have in their mind that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. All we need to be armed with is the word of God. Be obedient to the word of God. Use that word to cast down those strongholds, those imaginations, those arrogant thoughts in other people. All we need to give them is the word. You don't need to argue with nobody. You don't need to try to manipulate them in the way they think. Just give them the word. Just give them the word. You'll be surprised what the word of God will do in a person's mind and heart if we just will be obedient and speak that word. If the Holy Spirit says, speak it, speak it. If the Holy Spirit says, give it to them, you give them the word. But you what? You give it to them in love, but you give the word of God. You don't give your opinion, you don't give what you think. You give them the word. You give them the word. And 2 Corinthians 10, 6 says this, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. Now, how are you going to help somebody else in their disobedience if you disobeying too in the same thing? You got to be obeying. Help somebody else to disobey. You have to become completely obedient. Then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. If I'm a drunk, and I'm drinking, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm naming the name of Christ. Now, you know I can't go minister to nobody else because I'm an alcoholic, because I'm being disobedient. But when I become completely obedient and get delivered and let go of all of that, then I can help somebody else. Then I can help somebody else. So if you are disobedient in a certain area, you can't punish or correct someone else disobedient in that area. And how do we punish that disobedience? By giving them the word. You don't down them. You don't say, you old drunk, you old sinner. You give them the word of God. Brother or sister, God loves you. And that's not who you are. That's not your identity in Christ. You give them the word. When we become completely obedient, then we are ready to punish every act of disobedience. We can stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as we choose complete obedience. In my conclusion, let's go to Luke 6:46. I'm going to start with the scripture now. You know the scripture we started with today. Luke 6:46. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's not obedient, is it? You can say, "Lord, Lord," all you want to, but if you don't do what he says, you're not obedient. Next verse, "Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he's like." That person comes, he hears, he obeys. You got to come, you got to hear, you got to obey. Next verse, 48, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose," what's that? The things, circumstances of life that come to everybody. "The streams beat vehemently against that house, and it could not shake it because it was founded on the rock." It was founded on what? The rock is Christ, Jesus, and his word. The house was founded on Jesus and his word. "But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently," same stream, same flood, same stuff, "and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. They heard, but they didn't obey." They disobeyed instead of obeying. First Samuel 15:22 says this. Samuel was talking to Saul after Saul had disobeyed God more times than one. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Rebellion and stubbornness are disobedience. When you are walking in rebellion to God, rebellion is when you refuse to do what God say do, or you refuse to do what somebody tell you to do. Many people have rebellious children. The parents give them the truth and try to give them the right way, but they don't want it. That's rebellion. And stubbornness, rebellion and stubbornness are disobedient. Stubbornness is like this: I want to have my way, not your way. And I refuse to go your way. All that's disobedience. And then Samuel said, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." Now let's look at David for just a little bit. David lived a life of obedience. David lived a life of obedience to the Lord. Living a life of obedience doesn't mean you will never do anything wrong. See that right now. Just because you're living a life of obedience, it doesn't mean you're never going to do anything wrong. Did David do something wrong? Did he sin against God? Yes, he did. But David was quick to repent when confronted with his sin. Living a life of obedience don't mean you're going to always get it right, but it is going to mean you're always quick to, when you miss it, to get it back right. Allow Holy Spirit to get you back right. Andrew Womack calls a life of obedience as one where we willingly make course corrections when necessary. You willingly make course correction when necessary. God gives grace to the humble. We read it in 2 Peter, which is his enabling power for every act of obedience. Every act of obedience that we have to follow, there's grace that enables us to obey. Isn't that good? So living a life of obedience and following these acts of obedience is nothing we have to do on our own. God is with us. He gives us grace to obey. Just like he did Jesus. The Father was right there with him. He was right there with Jesus. Because Jesus said, what? My Father never leaves me alone. He's always with me. And so we can live an obedient life with the Lord because what? We're willing to obey. We have humbled ourselves and submitted to the will of God. And so now, God, when it gets tough and there's something I cannot do, I'm not willing to obey on my own, then I thank you for grace to help me say yes. I thank you for grace to help me put my foot forward and walk toward what you want me to do, because I know if I put my foot forward and walk toward what you want me to do, you're with me. You give me strength to do it. You give me strength to obey. You give me grace to obey. You just ask me what to be willing and obedient. The willing comes first. If you're willing and obedient, the Bible says you eat the good of the land. God wants us to be willing. And then we have grace to be obedient. And he'll even give us grace to become willing. We just let him, oh, Lord, I really don't want to do that. Will you please help me do it? And he'll do that. He'll give you grace to be willing. So eat obedience. Obedience is powerful. Being obedient unto the Lord is powerful. And we can't come into that place of rest unless we are obedient. We can't walk in the resting by faith unless we are obedient. We gotta be obedient. We gotta listen and obey. We gotta listen and obey. Get the word of God, read it, meditate on it, listen, and be obedient. What good is it gonna be me gonna do to read it if I'm not going to obey it? I got to obey too. I got to obey. I can't just listen. Let's look to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for those that heard the word today, including myself, Lord. And God, we bless your word today in our ears, in our hearts, God. Help us to be obedient unto you, God, to be obedient unto you, and to walk in all that you've given us to walk in. We can't walk in what we don't know, but what we do know, God, we can become obedient into that and walk in it. And the more we get to know you and your ways, the more obedient we can be. And the more we do that, God, the more will be given to us. Your word said the more that we have, when we give ourselves to what we have, and we listen and we obey and we read the word of God, the more will be given to us. And so, God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your patience and your love toward us and for us. Because, God, you are so loving and kind and patient with us. You really are, God. And we say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, God. We give you all the praise, and we magnify your name. And God, we say thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We want to be obedient people that listen and obey. We want to listen, God. We want to hear you. We want to see what you're doing. We want to hear what you're doing. And then we want to be obedient. To partner with you in what you're doing. And so, God, help us to do that. Help us to do that, God. Help us to care more about obeying you than we care about ourselves. Help us forget about ourselves and protecting ourselves and to think about just allowing you to use us for your glory because you love others, God, just like you love us. And you use us to bring your word and your blessings and your healing to others. So, God, we want to ask you to help us humble ourselves under your mighty hand because you give grace to the humble. So, God, we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help us always be one to ready to hear and to do and to receive God. If there be any stubbornness or rebellion in us, Lord, we repent, Father God, and ask you to deliver us from that. That's not how we want our hearts to be. We want to prepare our hearts with humility. Because only when we prepare our heart with humility, that's when we can obey. That's when we can be obedient unto you, God, in every situation, in all situations, and every time. Help us do that. And Father God, help us. If we falter and we disobey, help us to receive forgiveness from you and to know you still love us and you're willing to keep us going. And keep us moving in the name of Jesus. So, God, we thank you for obedience today. Bless children to be obedient in school to the things that are right and according to your will. Help our children to be obedient to what they hear that's right and according to your will. The disciple said, I'd rather obey God than obey man. Help us, Lord, to say the same thing and to be adamant about it, that we rather obey you, God, than to obey man. We rather obey you, God, than to obey our own selves. Help us, Lord, to be obedient, submissive children, humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and let you exalt in your own time. We give you glory, God, we give you praise, and we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We're going to get ready to close up. Any prayer requests? Any prayer requests? Any prayer requests? If not, let us be dismissed by saying amen. Amen.